John 21, 18 through 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This Jesus said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Thus ends the reading of God's Word in the Gospel of John. Let's bow in prayer now and ask him to bless our hearing of it. Dear God, we thank you for this witness which you have given. We ask, Lord, that you would give us attention now, still our hearts and minds, that we might give our full devotion to the word you have given us this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we considered particularly a conversation Jesus had with Peter. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, perhaps one with whom he was very close. And Jesus specifically came to Peter because Peter had betrayed Jesus before. He had boasted of the fact that he, more than any other disciple, would remain by Jesus' side when the going got tough. And yet, when things were at their lowest, Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, denied that he knew Jesus in order to keep himself safe. But we saw that Jesus forgave him. Jesus transformed him. And Jesus here, at the beginning of our passage this morning, which we already have looked at to some extent, Jesus said, "You will go even to the cross for my name." Jesus gives a prediction of Peter's death when he is older and says, "You will not be that coward who boasted of his bravery, but you will be one who holds firm to the end and does not deny me." And this morning, and we'll consider that to one extent, but we'll also consider this other disciple. Now, the disciple John, the one who's been writing this whole time, not giving us his name, perhaps out of humility or for some other reason, calling himself anonymously the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we see that John was following along, maybe at a distance, while this conversation was happening. We also see that John and Peter were very close together. Perhaps in some ways that explains a little bit of Peter's question about what's going to happen to my friend, John. Remember at the Lord's Supper, which is even referenced here, John was close to Jesus, and Peter asked him, "Hey, ask him who he's talking about. Who's going to betray him?" And we see that God gives to the church the disciple Peter. He was transformed, but he was transformed for the glory of God, but also for the good of the church, that he might feed the Lord's sheep, that he might be a shepherd under the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And in this book we see also that Jesus has given John to his church. That Jesus has a separate plan for John, as he has a separate plan for each of us. But his plan includes Peter and the death he will die for the good of God's church. And it includes John and the life he will live as he remains for the good of God's church, even bearing witness to the truth of Jesus Christ in this great book. We learn in this text that God provides for each of his people what we need. No matter how different our paths may be, and all that is left for us to do is to follow him. We are to follow Christ throughout all our lives to the very end, no matter what that end may look like. But we can do so knowing that God provides abundantly what we need. This morning, as we consider that, let us first look at the diversity of the disciples considered here, Peter and John, under our consideration. They are a diverse group. Each one, we learn, has a different path to walk in following Christ. Now, we know that in many ways, human life is the same. It's in many ways the same now as it's always been. There is pain and toil and heartache, suffering. There's joy, good times, marriage, the birth of children. All of us experience this in different ways. All of our lives look different. They do have some common elements. And most importantly, each of our paths, if we are God's people, has this in common, that there is only one path to God, and that is Jesus Christ. Some people say that, you know, every different religion in the world is just a different way to get to the same place, to get to God. But no, we have heard Jesus Christ himself say in this gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That there is only one way to get to God, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. That's why John's writing this, so that you can find that path. But in another sense, which we see here, we might say this path, this way, this road has many different lanes. That not everyone who walks it walks the same path in this life in a worldly sense. Each different lane which each of us travel as we seek to follow Christ looks a little bit different. Each one has its own individual bumps, potholes, and unique challenges. Remember what Peter is told his path to God would be like, how he would die, what his destiny is. He would stretch out his arms and be crucified in order to glorify God in his death. We might say in that sense, Peter's life comes to an abrupt end. There's a sinkhole that opens up in his path. And this is how God has chosen to glorify himself in the life of Peter. But there's a diversity of disciples because John's destiny is a different story. Peter turned and saw John following along behind and asked Jesus, what is going to happen to this man? Peter wants to know, in a sense, if every lane looks the same. Lord, what about this man? Will he be crucified too? But Jesus rebukes Peter for this idea. Jesus tells him, if it's my will that he remains even until I come again, what is that to you? Follow me. John clarifies for us here that Jesus didn't make an actual prophecy about his own life. He didn't say that John definitely will remain until I come. See, we probably understand that there's here this idea going around. People have heard, oh, Jesus said John wouldn't die. So if John is still alive, then we can know Jesus can come back any moment. And they misunderstood this saying, and what John doesn't want to happen and why he clarifies this is he doesn't want to die, and then everyone who misunderstood think, what's wrong? Jesus promised he wouldn't die. Did we miss Christ's coming? Did Jesus lie about this? Was he wrong? And that's why John wants to set the record straight. But what Jesus does say is that, Peter, it's not any of your business what I do with this other disciple. It's not any of your business what in my own providence I have destined for him. He may remain until I come. And if church history has the facts correct, we learn by tradition that John did live a long life. He was the last of the original disciples to die. He died, many say, in peace at an old age, in contrast to the death of Peter, who lays down his life for his Lord. But the result is the same no matter what your path looks like. Jesus says, "Follow me." It's the command Jesus originally gives him after he says, "Look, this is where we're going, but you follow me." Then he rebukes Peter for perhaps being too curious and looking not forward to Christ and the destiny before him, but looking side to side to compare himself to everyone else. Jesus says it again, "You follow me." That is the command. Follow me. Despite the differences, he says, "Follow me." And we have many differences in our lives, don't we? As we know family members, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know some who have struggled with physical issues of health, injury, even permanent disability. You may know some who've struggled with tragic events, losing the ones they love most to death or betrayal. Some struggle with loneliness. You know many different people, some who scrape to get by, and some who've been blessed with great finances. And yet we are not to compare ourselves to others. We are not to ask God, "What about him?" We, no matter what our lot in life, are to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and follow him. No matter which lane we are in, no matter what the other lanes look like. You know, I was just coming back from Presbytery, and as you go into the city and you're in these massive multi-lane highways and trying to get to the airport on time, and every lane always looks better, doesn't it? But you know, I need to be in this one to turn in just a little bit, but man, they're going fast over there. So I grew up running cross-country and things like that. I'm told, don't look back. Don't look around you. Look ahead and keep running. Cross country is one of those sports, as some are, where you're in many ways just competing against yourself, trying to run a little faster than you did before. Only one person gets to come in first, and there's a lot more than that in a race. Don't look around. Keep moving forward. In the spiritual life, keep your eyes on Christ. Look at him. Follow him. Do as he has commanded. When you fall to temptation, repent and come to him again in repentance and in faith. But fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Because no matter how exactly they do, every single lane will come to an end. The struggles and the joys and the trials and the blessings of this life will all end, whether it's in Peter's sinkhole or John's gradual ending of the road at wherever that may be, that all of these for the child of God who fixes his eyes on Jesus Christ, all of them end in death and in resurrection. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we do come to the Father if we fix our eyes on him. Jesus says, "Follow me." But we can do this. We can continue to follow God because our God is a God who provides everything we need. He gives us everything we need, the strength of the Spirit, the encouragement of the saints, the witness of John. He gives us what we need in his word and through his people so we can make it through as far as our lane runs until we come to him. See, there's a diversity of disciples in the fact that each one has a different path to walk. But each of these disciples we see is a different gift which God gives to his church to make sure all her needs were met. God provides for the church in Peter, a disciple who is a martyr. The church in its early ages needed the bold leadership of Peter. He is instrumental in much of what took place in the early church. Remember, when the Spirit was poured out on the disciples at Pentecost, who stood up and spoke and gave a sermon, which God used to bring many into the church, was Peter. We know Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but who preached the first sermon to the Gentiles and brought them to the faith? It was Peter. And God has told him, feed the sheep. I'm giving you as a blessing to the church. Peter, follow me. So the church has what she needs. We've seen this in Peter, even in all the gospel accounts, don't we? How quick he is to action. But God provides something else as well. He provides Peter, but he provides John as well, an enduring disciple. The church also needed the apostle John. He's not as quick to action as Peter is. Remember, when they're on the boat and they saw Jesus, the one who told them, yeah, throw the net on the other side, and all of a sudden it's full after a night of nothing. Peter was the first to act, but John was the first to say, it's the Lord. That's Jesus. When they ran to the tomb, remember, John, probably younger, gets there first. Peter, the man of action, goes all the way into the tomb and doesn't wait at the door. But the first one to see was John. John will go on to write not only this gospel, which we have studied, which has been to us life from the Father, but he wrote several letters as well, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And this blessing of spiritual insight and perception, the blessing that God gave him of long life, time to reflect on Christ and the truth of Christ by the power of God's Spirit, and to write this account for us. God provides what we need in the diversity of these disciples. Specifically here, John, as he reflects on Jesus, even tells us, I chose certain things out of the life of Christ. I didn't tell you everything he did. He, you know, exaggerates a bit here, saying if I wrote that many books, the world couldn't hold them all because Jesus did so much. But I've given you the ones that are important that you need in this account. And God has provided in his plan the Apostle John to do that. And many scholars believe his gospel was the last to be written because he chose to allow John to live, to reflect on Christ, to mature in Christ and write this word for us. And God in his Son provides the church all that is needed. We see this in the body of believers, that metaphor Paul uses so many different times, that each of us have different gifts. Members of the body, different gifts and roles, but we need everyone, every talent, every contribution, people with different personalities and temperaments. We need the wisdom of old age and the enthusiasm and energy of youth. We need those valiant for the truth of right doctrine and not teaching falsehood. And we need those sensitive to and perceptive of the feelings and needs of others. We need those who can spend time in prayer for the saints. We need those who can give with generosity. We need leaders of the flock and we need faithful followers. But all of us need to follow Christ. We all have different callings, different paths in life. But we are all told to follow Christ. And we are told that God provides for the church what it needs. Not just one gospel account, but four. Making sure that we have each of these so that we can know fully what Jesus came to do and who he is. God provides for the church an enduring witness in John. We can follow Christ because he's given us the support we need in this book of Scripture. Jesus has done so much. He's died for our sins to pay the penalty which we deserve to pay. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He rose from the dead to lead the way for us out of death into new life so that we could follow him there. He did many signs to show us the rich meaning of his work. He made water into wine to show the abundance of the life he gives. He miraculously fed the multitudes to show that all of our spiritual sustenance comes from him. He healed the blind to show that we, being dead in sin, don't even see our own need for him, until by his Spirit he makes us able to see. He healed the lame to show that the power to walk, the power to follow him, comes in Christ alone. He raised Lazarus from the dead to show that he is the resurrection and the life, and it is the power of his word which brings us out of death and into life. He did so many more things, John says. But John chose these to tell us. One commentator said, it's really good John didn't give us all of them, because that would be way too much. We've got our work cut out even thinking about and reflecting on and meditating on and understanding what we have in Scripture. You can study this book all your life long, but because this book is the revelation of an infinite God, you will always learn more. You will always find new truth that you hadn't grasped before. And John, by the inspiration of the Spirit, has given us in this gospel just what we need to be sustained throughout this life. He doesn't tell us what Jesus did as a teenager. He doesn't give us every single little detail which we might be curious about. But God knows what we need, and God provides it so that we can follow him. It's interesting what John says. Remember, Peter would be like Christ in his death, would he not? Be crucified just like Jesus was, being a shepherd of the sheep, just as Jesus is the good shepherd. But note how John also is like Jesus. We read earlier this verse, no one has ever seen God. But the only God who's at the Father's side, he has made him known. The English translation smooths out the Greek language a little bit, but literally it says, Jesus is not at the Father's side, but from the bosom of the Father. That's how close they are, and that's why Jesus can accurately reveal God to us. Now look what he says here in verse 20. The disciple whom Jesus loved followed them. The one here in John, it's kind of curious. Why is he using this verse to identify himself? Isn't that kind of off topic? He said, the one who had leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who's going to betray you? It's literally the one who leaned back on Jesus' chest and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Jesus, in chapter 20, verse 21, told his disciples, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And how does that apply here to John? The Father sent Christ, Jesus, into the world from his own bosom, from his own being. The Father sending the Son, uniquely qualified to reveal the Father because of their intimacy together. And in a slightly different way, but very much analogous, as the Father sent the Son, so Jesus sends John to write this message. And John is uniquely qualified to bear witness to the truth of these facts. We can know they are true, because he's the gospel who is right there, we might say, in the bosom of Jesus. He was the one, we might say, was closer than any human on earth to Jesus. He had an intimacy with Jesus in his earthly life that makes him able to bear true and reliable witness to what Jesus did on this earth for us. And in providing John, who has died, who didn't remain until the second coming, but whose witness does remain, God gives us what we need to follow him. We can trust God, even though he provides these different paths for each of us. We can trust him because he provides faithful witnesses to Christ. Peter, as well as John. Peter has also written books of Scripture. Each one is different, but each one fills in our picture, the magnificent richness of the work of God that we can never fully comprehend. It's too great. that all of this points to the fact that we can follow Christ because God provides for us his Son. That's what John is bearing witness to, the Son who was given for us. This is who we follow. Even as we follow leaders and officers in our church, as we, as children, follow our parents, as we follow, we call them fathers in the faith who have gone before us, we're ultimately looking through them to Christ. As Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He is the good shepherd that goes before the sheep. That's what shepherds did in the ancient Near East. They didn't come from behind with dogs to chase the sheep. But they led the way before them, calling their names, and the sheep followed them. That's what we are to do. He has trodden this path before us. And he, above all others, had a very unique path in doing for us what no other man could do, fulfilling all the work the Father gave him to do, to lay down his life for the sheep, to go through the death of the cross, experiencing all of the wrath of God against the sins of his people, and putting an end to it in himself. And then rising from the dead so that we might have life in him. God has given us this great shepherd for us to follow. We don't do those things because he has already done them for us. All that's left is for us to follow him. He provides his Son to suffer, to die, and to rise. He gives us the leaders we need. He gives us these apostles to bear witness to Christ, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to know him. He gives us his word. He gives us his sacraments to build us up in the faith as well. God has provided so abundantly. No matter where your path takes you, he will provide what you truly need in that time, as difficult as it may be. But when that happens, don't look around you. Especially don't look as the psalmist did to the wicked and think they've got it easy. But look straight ahead to Jesus Christ and follow him.